Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We are sharing with you on the subject of our covenant of victory. In Exodus chapter 17, in verse 15, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. This is after Joshua had discomfited the Amalekites, and they had smote the people with the edge of the sword, and they had gained the victory. That shows you the fact that God is our victory against our enemy. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. That reveals the Lord, our banner of victory, because Jehovah, the name of the Lord, and Nissi, meaning our banner of victory, is a revelation of the covenant-keeping name of the Lord, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner of victory. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Tribulation means pressure. "But be of good cheer." And this word means be of good courage. "I have overcome the world." The word overcome is nikao, which means to conquer. He conquered the world. He conquered the things that the enemy would bring against him. And because we are now in him, we can conquer the world as well. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, we saw the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, anointing him to preach the gospel to the poor, sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and setting at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord was the year of Jubilee, when all of the inhabitants would go free. In Leviticus 25 and verse 8 and following, we see the discussion about the time of Jubilee. It said there were 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, which would be 49 years. And then in verse 9, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." So the 50th year was the time of the Jubilee, and they said to proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. "It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family." Total restoration. Jubilee, every 50 years, was the time when they would come to liberty and be restored. And we see that Jesus was preaching the acceptable year of the Lord in Luke 4:19. And in verse 20, he says, "This day is this fulfilled in your ears," indicating that Jesus was the fulfillment of what the acceptable year was all about that brought them to liberty and restoration. So Jesus is now our Jubilee, and we all in Christ can come to liberty, and we can be restored and possess all of our possessions, all of the promises of God, and enter into the covenant of victory that Jesus Christ gives us. In Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." All the blessings of God belong to us now in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen." The promises belong to us, and they are yes. And Romans 8 and verse 31, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" When is God for us? When we're born again and walking right with him. The result is the enemy will not be able to successfully be against us. In Romans 8:35, though, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who's the who? That's the devil trying to come at us. It follows on and says what he uses. "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So the devil considers us sheep for the slaughter, but the truth is, you and I are more than conquerors. This is a word in the Greek that comes from nikao, but it's huper nikao, meaning we are surpassing conquerors or more than conquerors and can overcome the enemies in our life. Of course, who's your enemy? 1 Peter 5:8, we saw it's the devil, the adversary who walks about seeking whom he may devour. We talked about Ephesians 4:27, where a person can give place to the devil. And how does one give place to the devil? through sin. Now in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Again, the word overcometh, nikao, conquering the world. And what's the victory that conquers the world? Your faith. Your faith is going to enable you to overcome. We talked about the fact in Galatians 2:20 that we have the faith of Jesus Christ. We got it the day we got born again. And in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, "I believe, therefore I've spoken," we believe and therefore speak. So you and I have the same spirit of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, which we got when we got born again, receiving the spirit of Jesus Christ. And we are to put our faith in operation as we believe the word in our heart, and then we speak it forth to enter into the covenant of victory that belongs to us. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11, the Bible says, "We pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." In other words, if you're going to enter in experientially to the covenant of victory, you've got to work your faith and release the power of God. You see, we're to live by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 13:4 indicates Jesus lived by the power of God, and that you and I are also to live with him by the power of God as well. Now, as we concluded, we saw in 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Again, the word nikao, have conquered them. Now, why were they able to conquer them? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to understand that God is doing the work through you, and he is on the inside of you. The greater one is in you than the devil that's out there in the world. Now we're going to enter into victory through our faith. We have a general spirit of faith, but we do not have specific faith in area after area of the Word of God until we get the Word in us. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." As you hear the Word of God, you get specific faith in area after area. You hear the Word on healing, you have faith for healing. You hear the Word on walking in love, you have faith for walking in love. You hear the Word on deliverance, you have faith for being delivered. So we have a general spirit of faith, but we need to receive the Word of God to get specific faith on area after area. Then we act upon the Word by speaking the Word and or doing what it says to enter into the covenant of victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The word "giveth" is in the present tense, denoting continuous, repeated action. So thanks be to God, who is giving unto us, that's what it literally says, who is giving unto us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is shown again in 2 Corinthians 2:14, where it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Causing us to triumph is present tense, continuous repeated action, showing the fact that we continuously triumph in all things in Christ. And it said, we always triumph. That means you can overcome in every situation. You can enter into a manifestation of the covenant of victory because you are going to work your faith with the power of God and see your faith bring forth victory. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, the Bible says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We have spiritual weapons to deal with a spiritual enemy. When it talks about our weapons being mighty, the word "mighty" is a form of the word dunamis, which means powerful. And it says that they're mighty through God to the pulling down. The word "pulling down" in the Greek means to demolish and to destroy. And then it speaks of the stronghold. Strongholds are spiritual fortresses. You see, the enemy establishes spiritual fortresses in a person through sin and inherited generational iniquity, curses, in whatever way he's been able to work in your life to come and steal, kill, and destroy. So God has given us spiritual weapons, and if you're going to enter into the covenant of victory, you've got to know your weapons of warfare, which we've been talking about when we talked about the sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God, and the name of Jesus, the name above every name, whereby we release the authority delegated to us to see God come personally present and active on the scene to give us the victory. So the spiritual weapons of our warfare are powerful through God, and they're going to demolish and destroy the spiritual fortresses and the strongholds of the enemy. You know, Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Don't think for a minute that any weapon of the enemy can prosper against you. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Why? Because you have a covenant of victory. Now in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, we see something important. It says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now the word power used twice in this verse is not the best translation, because they're two different Greek words. The first word for power is exousia, which means authority. The second word power is dunamis, which does mean power. So this correctly translated says, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So you have authority over all the power of the enemy, and you are to use that authority to tread the enemies underfoot, to enter into experientially your covenant of victory. Now there's another thing important that we got to bring out in this verse. It says at the end of it, "Then nothing shall by any means hurt you." When you look up the verb here, you find that the verb hurt is in the subjunctive mood. The subjunctive mood expresses things that are contrary to fact or reality, and it means that the statement is conditional. In other words, it is conditional upon you taking authority over all the power of the enemy that nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can't just speak and declare, "Nothing's going to hurt me." No, it's conditional upon you taking your authority and overcoming and treading the enemy underfoot to stop his power. If you meet the conditions, then nothing shall by any means hurt you. That brings the true understanding of the subjunctive mood of this verb hurt. Now remember, Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You are in a position of authority in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to operate in that authority, you've got to be under authority. In Matthew 8:8, the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." That shows you that he understood authority. Jesus said he had great faith. He was under authority to the Roman government, and therefore in authority over the soldiers under him, and he would speak to them words commanding them what to do, and they would obey. He saw the same principle operated in Jesus, recognizing that he was under authority to God in heaven and in authority over the demons and over the sickness and disease and all the works of the enemy, and that Jesus would speak forth words of authority, and that the devils and the sickness and disease would obey him, and he would do the mighty works of God because he was a man under authority and in authority. This tells you something. You must be under authority to the Father in heaven by walking in line with his word, and know that you are in authority over the enemies, and you're going to speak forth words that are going to release your faith, working your faith with power in order to experientially enter into the covenant of victory as you conquer the enemy in every area of your life. Well, we talked more about the covenant of victory. We're going to continue on this in the next broadcast. I want to invite you to Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, where we teach the uncompromised Word of God, scripture after scripture, subject after subject, displaying all of the scriptures by video for you to see. Service times are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., and Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.